It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And I, as I say at the top of every show, I'm thrilled. I am thrilled that you're here joining us and learning how to do money in a new way. I just want to say something about that today, because I say I'm thrilled every time. And that comes from my heart, because money's been given a really bad rap. We've done a lot of awful things with this resource that is of divinity. And it really is, it's just a tool. It's a resource, right? It's here to help us play on this 3D planet. It's here to help us create some freedom. And that's all it is. It really is this neutral thing. And we heap so much on top of it. And so I am thrilled that you are here, because every one of us who learns how to work with money in a new way is going to create a ripple effect on the planet. And we could really use some updating on how we allow resources to flow to every person on the planet, not just the right people on the planet. So, the show is really about learning how to, instead of creating out of old patterns, our old patterns are what we've learned from the culture, or previous experiences. And because when we do that, we just keep recreating the same pain over and over again. But instead, when we learn how to operate at the level of our individual, unique soul money relationship, we learn how to interact with this tool, this money tool, in a brand new way. And it really does lead to lasting abundance, lasting peace. We get to unload a lot of the stuff that we carry around in a traditional way with money. So again, I'm thrilled that we are here together. Now, you can probably guess from the title of the show, or if you've been around and listening to some episodes, I work a lot with the spiritual side, right? I work a lot on the energetic side, but we live in a 3D world and there are things we need to do. There are action steps to take in order to be seen, to have our customers, our community, or even if you're somebody who's working in a job, to be able to be in a position where somebody sees you and says, okay, here, let me give you a paycheck. But of course, those action steps can be scary, because we are asking to be seen. We're asking to be heard. And that triggers internal stuff. That's the area that I call the relationship with self, in part of the soul money relationship. But I wanted to do a deeper dive today. So I'm thrilled to have my guest here today, because she and I are going to talk a lot about being seen and being heard and what you can do to move through some of the things that keep you from being seen and heard. So Rebecca Massad, did I say your last? Yes, I'm so glad that you are here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I am delighted to be. I'm thrilled.
I want to use that word like a million times, right? So let me tell our audience a little bit about you, and then, of course, I'm going to let you expand on that. So Rebecca is a soulful speaker coach, and she's a marketing mentor of a seasoned speaker and event MC. And here's what I love what you said, because it like puts it right out there. Rebecca's clients courageously step into the spotlight with a soulful signature talk, attract their ideal clients with ease, and double or triple their revenue as they unapologetically say yes to being seen, heard, and highly visible. So the two words that pop out to me here are spotlight and highly visible, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all out there, right? Helping people get really comfortable. So I tell you what, let's start, if you don't mind, by sharing your own journey into why this is such an important topic for you, how you got to this point of working with other speakers on and being visible and putting together their talks.
Yes, thank you so much, Jennifer. Well, I started my business. It was almost 9 years ago to the day. And it was speaking was literally how I got my business off the ground. When I got my first coaching certification, I remember my mentor said, here's a workshop, go out and deliver it. And this is going to be a great way for you to bring in new clients to your business. And I had the yes and oh no, the both going on, because it was like, oh my God, I love speaking. I do love sharing and teaching in front of an audience. And at the same time, it is scary as heck. And so I did it. I got out there and I just started giving talks over and over. And one of my very first speaking engagements, when I was still like really shaky, I delivered it. I had about 10 people. It was in my chiropractor's waiting room. Mm. And I walked away with two clients from that, two of my very first clients. And one of them became a $10,000 client. Mm. And I was not a polished or confident speaker, but it told me something. It was like, I'm on to something. If I can go out there and not be super polished or super even confident and give a little workshop, I can generate revenue. I can grow my business. I can bring in money consistently over and over when I say yes and commit to doing that. So that's exactly what I did. And, you know, even though I had some early success with speaking, there was still this internal battle of longing to be in the spotlight and also terrified of it at the same time. It's like all my old wounding came up of being teased as a kid, being made fun of, the self-doubt that who knows where that came from, you know, that it just from my parents or from my community or the news, it, you know, it's like, who am I to stand up here and share my message? And why would anybody listen to me? And am I really good enough? So all those, you know, those voices that so many of us have. And so what I did in those early days, I like clung to my script. I really, and what happened is that I did have success and I did get clients, but I noticed there were these times where I would really lose connection with the audience. Mm. And I realized I was losing connection with myself. So it's been this process of stepping out, saying yes to speaking, and also really taking myself on this inner journey. Because I'm imagining, I know you're an entrepreneur, the entrepreneurial journey is such an internal process as well. And it's such a one of the fastest paths to transformation, I think.
It certainly is.
Yeah. So I've had to learn to really come into deep trust with myself and do that inner work of healing my own visibility wounds while stepping out and making a great living through speaking, attracting my ideal clients. And then that led me to start teaching other women entrepreneurs how to use speaking, how to craft a signature talk, and then how to really move past those or work with the fears and do it anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to interrupt here, but I'm curious, do the fears So are we talking about erasing the fears, or are we talking about working with the fears, or a combination of both?
I would say it's working with them. They dissolve or melt on their own. We don't have to get in there and go, get out of here, fear. And let's, I hear people say, kick your fear to the curb and annihilate it. And really, it's befriend your fear. Get to know it. Get to know it. And not, it's like, yes, get to know it. Cozy up to it to a degree. You're not going to want to stay and wallow in that fear, but get to know it. Let it have a voice. And it settles down. When it's paid attention to, when that fear is paid attention to, it tends to just settle down on its own. So there's some more practices and things that we can bring in, and I can certainly share more about that.
I think so. Here's a question that I'm a little bit curious about. So, how do we know that we have a fear of being seen or heard? Does that question make sense? Because how do we know that it's a visibility issue? Like, if is it a message issue or a visibility issue? Is there a way to sort of tease that apart? In terms of, let's say that we put, we're out there and there's kind of crickets happening. How do we know if it's a messaging issue or if it's a visibility issue?
Or an energetic issue,
Or an energetic.
energetic alignment issue. Yeah, so this is a really, really great question.
How about I just like throw a big question right out there, right?
I love it. I love it. No, I don't love
Yeah.
it.
Because I'm wondering, because I certainly know how my body feels when I'm in that space of, I really want to be seen, but oh, please, nobody look at me, right? Like that sense of that fear. It's such an internal feeling for me. Versus a messaging issue, maybe it feels like I'm a bit out of alignment, right? Like what you were speaking about in terms of, when you were giving your talk at the chiropractor's office or another talk, and feeling like, wait, I'm losing connection, but I'm also losing connection to myself, right? So, what kinds of things do we want to be aware of that can help us understand a little bit more what might be going on?
Yeah, well, I think what you said about being aware of your body, like that is, I mean, just, I've been doing podcasts for now 7, 8 years and speaking 9 years ever since, but I in just in this moment, so becoming very present to what you're noticing and what you're feeling in your body. And I think as speakers, when this is a stage, we're on the podcast stage and we're being recorded for the whole world to see, is bringing your attention and awareness. There's a tendency for to stay up here and have this energy of swirling around the thought, be in the thought bubble or the head bubble. And the opportunity as speakers is to bring that energy and awareness all the way down into our body, like speaking from your hips, speaking from the center of your pelvis. And what happens when we do that? We start to slow it down. We become so present with, and when we do that, we become, I believe, more magnetic to the audience. There's a tendency that the audience is going to lean in when we become really present. And it sends a signal to our own body and our brains that we're safe. When we stay up here, we get caught up in the thoughts and the head bubble and how, wondering, how am I being perceived? What is this person thinking? What is, or what did I just say? Or what am I about to say next? And when we bring the energy and using the breath is one of the best tools to just pause in the middle of when you're speaking, you're standing in front of an audience, all eyes are on you. The power of pausing and taking a breath is one of the most valuable, valuable tools at your disposal as a speaker. And it sends the signal to your body, I'm safe, because that's what happens is as speakers, when we're especially, you know, it is the number one fear. And so it activates the fight, flight, or freeze in our bodies. And so there's a tendency when we're activated like that, we tend to jump out of our bodies or go into our head bubble. But if we can consciously, okay, be aware, just in that moment ago when I was saying, okay, wow, I'm aware I have some nervousness in my belly. Jennifer is asking a really big question right from the get-go. Oh, right. So I felt that. I slowed it down and I allowed myself to breathe. And there's an element of then trusting myself, and whatever comes, allow that to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, as you connect into that pelvic area, what a rich space, right? Where our value is, where, right, all the different chakras that are aligned with messaging and who we are and safety, right? That root chakra, right? If I can bring my energy all the way down there, be firmly planted, right? And I can tell, because I'm now trying it because you were talking about it. And I know I get caught up here. I'm so excited. I just want to, right? Slow down. You wouldn't be the first person to tell me to do that. and we get to engage that part of us that is the wisdom, right? That comes from who we are at that soul level, right?
Yes.
And that's the part that's really speaking, right? That's the part that really wants to engage and share what we have to say. It's part of our uniqueness.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yes. So since I asked the big question to start with, let's back up just a titch here and talk about why would we have visibility wounds? What are the kinds of things that might have been present? You said a few things in your intro for yourself, but what might be present in somebody's experience that would create some of those visibility wounds?
Yeah, what's coming to share, Jennifer, is just a story from my own childhood. And growing up, I had a last name that I got made fun of a lot. And so the last name that I grew up with is Butts. B-U-T-T-S.
Yep.
You can imagine.
Kids are cruel.
I got a lot of teasing with that last name. And it was, and then later in my 20s, I changed my name. I empowered myself with a name change and did a whole ritual around it. And then I changed my name again when I got married and in my 30s. And then I was in my 40s, started my business. But I still notice this name of growing up with a name that where I was teased relentlessly, it was nagging at me. It was like what happened is that I realized I was still carrying the wound of something is wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Something is wrong with me. And it was when I started, and it was still like I wouldn't tell anybody that I had this, you know, it's like, I'm Rebecca Masood, or I was Rebecca Bell. So that was the name I gave myself. I legally changed it. So no one knew my newer friends and community. No one knew. And it was a very easy thing to hide. And yet there was an inauthenticity to it because it felt like I was pushing down a part of myself, and that was unacceptable. This was unacceptable to share with my community. And so I had to really work with that wounding. And what really helped me is starting to share about it publicly. It came out in a workshop. I did a couple of speaker workshops, and that I started talking about it and sharing about it. And I gave a talk and shared about having my last name. I started writing about it in my emails. And through this process of doing my own inner work, but also coming out and sharing about it in a really authentic way, was so healing and so transformative. And it helped just melt that belief, the false belief that there is something wrong with me.
Yeah, beautiful. That's so beautiful. And the acknowledgement, you were speaking earlier about people, you know, kick your fear to the curb and, you know, outrun your fear or whatever. But I really think it's that process of acknowledging, really honoring and acknowledging those pieces. Not that we have to let those parts run the show, right? We don't want them driving the bus, so to speak. And I have a similar experience. You know, I'm somebody who speaks about abundance, and I have a bankruptcy in my past. Mm-hmm. And it was actually the bankruptcy that triggered the beginning of my work. I was in a different field. I was working in the area of fertility before. And then, right, here's this really incredible personal experience. But when I started with my abundance work, I didn't share about it because there was, I think there was a part of me still processing it, yeah. Right? The shame of it, the anxiety. But then I found that I had this fear that somebody was going to find out, right? That I was, you know, it was going to be the thing that somebody, I don't know why I thought people were going to be looking into my history or whatever, but it's the thing that we do, right? We tell that story. The most empowering thing I've ever done is to start to share about it. And of course, it's a really important part of my story, of who I am. And I know I've done a lot of work as to why that bankruptcy happened. It wasn't just a, you know, as the shame would say, oh, well, you just did XYZ wrong. Like, well, no, it was actually a highlight from my soul to say, you're using your money as a measuring stick. And that's never going to work because money has nothing to do with your self-worth. Nothing. It's just a tool, right? So it was a very important piece for me in my own personal transformation. So to be able to then share that with my community was so freeing, right? But it took a lot of backs work, right? To honor it and acknowledge it and make it and allow it to stay a part of me. Instead of wanting to like just sort of cut that part out and put it on a shelf, right?
Yes, yes. Oh, thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like the one of the main messages here is to acknowledge those parts of ourselves that get nervous, that start to quake a bit. As we put ourselves out there. Yes. And we're going to do, when we come back from break, we're going to do a couple of exercises to kind of help people to see this, a little bit of this work in process. But I'm wondering if there's one other piece of information that you'd really like to share with the audience about this overarching topic of being seen, being heard, really allowing yourself to step into that spotlight. What might that be?
Yeah, so the message that's coming to share is to say yes to speaking and being in the spotlight is saying yes to yourself. It's saying, I'm valuable. I'm worth it. I have something uniquely put into my heart and my soul to share with my audience. And so it's the message of I matter, and this message matters, because this is a message really of the divine. I believe we are all divine instruments. And so allowing yourself to be that instrument, that agent for your soul. And then speaking is the way to communicate that.
It's so powerful, Rebecca, because, you know, so many of us learn speaking as a tactic. And it is at a certain level, right? It's one way. And yet when it's a tactic, that allows all those other voices to like really rise up. But if I can make it, if I can step into that space and say, this is me sharing, this is who I am. That has its own pieces, I suppose, as far as visibility, but it's so powerful. It's so much easier to step into, okay, yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So juicy. So many more questions I could be asking you, but we need to take a short break. And then, so you're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio. I am Jennifer Bloom, and we will, when Rebecca and I come back, we will each share some experiences around being seen and being heard. So like I said, we'll take a quick break and we'll see you in a bit.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com. Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no, or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Rebecca Masood. We have been talking about being seen, being heard, being visible, and how our messages are really divinely given. And that when we step into that space, how it just begins to quiet some of those voices that might spring up to say, no, don't look at me, right? Don't hear me. Okay, so we're going to spend the last half of the podcast doing some exchanges here of our tools and questions and coaching and all of that. We're going to see what pops up. But before we do that, Rebecca, can you let people know the best way to get a hold of you? And I also would love for you to share, I don't always do this, but I'd love for you to share about your main events, the Speak, Shine, and Sell, because I think it'd be really important. So if you would share about that, that'd be fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, to reach me, go to my website, which is RebeccaMassoud.com, and I have a free gift there for you, and it's my Soulful Signature Talk template. So if you've ever wondered, like, what goes into a signature talk, this is that one page template overview that gives you everything you need to know to put into your signature talk. And then thank you for mentioning my workshops called Speak, Shine, Sell. And this is a online workshop, so it's virtual, and it's where soulful entrepreneurs come together, and I guide you through a process where you walk away with a first draft of your signature talk, your soulful signature talk. And so what I see it as is truly a sacred container to really receive the message that you are uniquely here to share with the world. And so that's the container, and I provide, you know, the structure, and then you get to practice and connect with other amazing soulful entrepreneurs as you're going about the workshop. So it's a beautiful experience, and I'll be teaching my 24th workshop.
Oh my goodness.
Coming up.
That's fantastic. So just a quick question about that. Is it a one-day event? Is it 2-day? I know you have done it in person, but now it's online. What's the structure of it?
Yeah, it's 2 half days. So we do like half of it, and then you get to take a break, rest your brain, body, get away from Zoom.
That's the truth.
Yeah. And then we come back the next day when you finish up on your talk.
Super. Well, thanks for sharing that. I think it could be, you know, my ears are certainly perking up around it, and I have each time you've spoken about it. So I will be attending. But I think it's a great resource for entrepreneurs. So thank you for sharing. All right. So in this next part, let's do a little bit of demonstrating how different tools can help us get a little bit more comfortable being in our skins. We'll see what unfolds. I know it's going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start where I, in one of the areas that I love, which is soul language. And the reason why this is such a potent tool for this conversation is that soul language is all about putting tangibility to our soul, right? Because we say we're divine, we're part of a unique strand of the divine, but what does that really mean? So the paradigm of soul language says that there are 107 different voices of soul, and we came to the planet with 3 of them. We came a language that's our mission, a language that's our skills and tools to fuel our mission, and our soulful personality, our preference for who we be here on the planet. So we brought languages that are for ourselves personally. Those are actually pieces of our soul. These are pieces that we can talk to, parts of ourselves that we can be in conversation with. And we also brought the 3 energies, 3 languages to support every relationship that we're in, including the one with money. And usually when I share on the podcast, I share a money language with my guest. But for this conversation, I thought it was be what came through was that it's important to know ourselves, right? This is where if we can really get into who we are in the marrow of our bones, right? That again holds the container for us to be able to be comfortable being seen if we own it first. So I the way I identify the languages, I muscle test. So I make a connection with your soul and I muscle test. So this isn't me just kind of going through and picking what I think is right for you. This is a directly from your soul. And for the purposes of the conversation today, your soul said, let's take a look at the skills and tools language, how you're known here on the planet. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the name of the language, a definition of it, and things you might experience if you are in conscious connection with this part of yourself, or if you're disconnected from this part of yourself. And honestly, we're a mixed bag usually, right? So there are things that you're probably going to recognize on both sides. And then of course, I will ask you how it resonates. All right. Okay. So for you, your skills and tools language, how you're known here on the planet is nurturer. So you'll be known here as a person who provides for and sustains others. When you are consciously using this part of yourself, things you might experience, balancing your providing with receiving, which makes you a perfect giver and receiver, being balanced in your male and female energies, having a structure for nurturing yourself, allowing yourself to be nurtured, not over-nurturing to prove your worth, knowing and expressing your value, setting and maintaining appropriate boundaries. On the flip side, if you were to be disconnected from this part of yourself, having trouble placing financial value on your nurturing, not accepting nurturing from others, being out of balance in your giving and receiving, feeling tired, overworked, or unsupported, feeling as if you always need to give in order to receive, giving in hopes that you will receive. And I have a copy of that, so I can get that to you. Right. So tell me how that resonates. Does that ring any bells or?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I would say that, yes, that does resonate. I would say as a coach, speaker coach, and the work I do with my clients, I am nurturing, and yeah, I think I do pretty well with boundaries. I don't feel, I mean, yes, I could do better, of course. but I do feel like fairly balanced in giving and receiving. And I think the biggest shift for me in the last few years of my business is nurturing myself. And that's really helped me get so much stronger and more confident and just more stable within myself around speaking and visibility. So that's been the biggest shift.
Yeah, right. So many of us are programmed. That's a pretty strong word, but right. We're programmed to serve, right? There's a lot of different things. And when we're in business, we're taking care of our clients. When we're with family, we're taking care of family. And when we can do that internal nurturing, right, when we're not overtired or the nutrition is off or, right, all of these different things, or we're setting boundaries for when we see clients, right, that creates a really strong sense of self. And yeah. Again, when that sense of self is present, it's a lot easier to let people in and see.
Yes,
right. And
absolutely. Yeah.
And when we hold that really strong sense of self, even if there are still little bits and pieces of us that are like, oh, you know, had a hard time or were teased, or had a really bad experience or crickets at, you know, time or two, it can quiet down, right? It can quiet down.
Yeah. Yes. Self-compassion has been my number one tool. I would say that the last couple of years, self-compassion has been like my savior.
Yeah. So this piece of your soul, right, is helping to feed that. And, you know, it's important for all of us to be in balance, But for you, because this is one of your core energies, it's really important for you to be in balance, right? Because when you're not, it's going to throw your whole, your whole system, your whole game off.
That is so true.
Yeah. Okay. So, where would you like to start the conversation on your side?
Oh my goodness. That was, great.
Yeah. Or any questions, I guess I should, any other questions about the soul languages or how to work? Well, I mean, there's a bigger conversation about how to work with them that I'm happy to do offline. Because again, these are pieces that you can, they are literally a part of you. They are a consciousness and we get, you can talk to them, right? Mm. So when you find yourself out of balance, we can, you can tune in and ask that part, how can I come back into balance? Or what's out of balance? Or what can I augment in my routine to help come back into balance?
Mm. This is great. Yeah, no, it definitely brings up a lot more questions. And it's so cool, Jennifer, because at first when you said nurture, I was like, really? And a part of me was not getting that because I'm not like the classic nurturer who's like gives everything to everybody and just, you know, self-sacrificing. I'm not like that. And as you shared more and especially when I was like, oh yeah, self-compassion is like one of my big themes. Well, that is so nurturing. So now I'm like, I'm getting that and can feel myself owning that part of me is really cool. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me, Jennifer, I would just love to have you share tell me what you most struggle with around visibility.
So as I, to be completely transparent about it, right? The way that I have used money in the past as a measuring stick, I notice tendencies to use visibility as a measuring stick. Right. So who saw, who responded, you know, I'm not particularly caught up in, you know, how many likes I get on social media, right? It's not to that degree, but it is what kind of a response am I receiving from the message that I'm putting out there? And if it happens to be about a program, right, again, it's not about the actual numbers of people signing up, but I might tell a story if I'm not receiving a kind of response that I thought. And I find that this has happened as I have gotten more and more clear about who I am, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm really settling into who I am. So I really would like but there's still that little piece that wants the validation, I suppose.
Sure.
Right? of that. You know, it's funny. I think I told this story maybe on the last podcast, the idea that I'm actually standing here, sitting here doing a podcast is hilarious. I used to pretend to be sick in school on the days I had to give presentations. I was the kid that was so nervous. I would shake. I would get red. I would, you know, and that carried on for a while. Right. But I think that more of it today is about, okay, so I am sharing this divinely given message. What does that, you know, being wanting to make sure that it's given in a way that it can be received and given in a way that there is some response back. Mm-hmm. So that's the space that I find is the most telling or the most painful right now.
What's the story you tell yourself around that when you put something out there and you don't get the response?
Well, there's something wrong, right? There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with the message or, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is, so the first piece around that, it seems, is to acknowledge that that wanting that response or that external validation is so human. And it's just like, yeah, I want that. And just to let that be okay. Sometimes we can get into the, oh, I shouldn't want the extra, you know, I can just validate myself and I'm a divine being and I can just validate myself and I'm okay. And I don't need anything. It's like, actually, no, we do. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. So just acknowledging that is so human and so part of the human experience. So yeah. It's a both and.
I can feel my shoulders relaxing. You know, when you say that, it's like, yeah, that's right. It is. But it's just a piece of the experience, right? It's a piece of the human experience.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, we do need responses. We do need affirmations external from the outside. Because we live, you know, we're not just here. The responses that we receive from clients and friends and community is often a reflection. It is. I think it's a mirror of what is going on in here. And so I think that just acknowledging that's a human need. And then working with that, there's something. I mean, that's the classic, you know, there's something wrong with me because mm-hmm. I'm not getting the. And so what I love to do is, first of all, give that a voice. I'm a journaler, so I give that a voice. I write it out. I write out exactly what I'm feeling. I don't hold back. I just put it all out there. It can feel like vomiting sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then once I get all that out, I ask myself, what's really true here? What is really true here? And I ask, what does the voice of love, unconditional love, have to say about this? And I allow that voice to come through. And I write out everything that I receive from that unconditionally loving place. And for me, when I do that process, it allows me to come back home to myself and really come back to truth with a capital T.
Yeah. Yes. So there's a couple of things that are coming up, what you shared, and that coming back to truth with a capital T is so important, because when we let our stories run wild, right? If I allow myself to really sit in that not so great place, I can really tell a good story. I'm a great storyteller, right? And then it just gets all in your face, and then you're in it, and then you're telling a deeper story and a deeper. Yeah. But right, coming back to what that truth is with a capital T, right? If I'm to sit with my, you know, what I love the journaling idea, and I love that idea of, you know, unconditional love. What would that voice say? And I think of that as my team, right? My soul language team, yes. As a voice of unconditional love, right? They're my team. And I say, hey, team, what do you think about this? And I can,
and
of course they're very animated because I connect with them on a regular basis, and they're all looking at me like, you know, with great love and respect, right? What a weirdo. Like, stop with that story. Aren't you tired of that story? It's said with really great deep love, right? Yeah. Like it is just a story. And remember how you're getting really connected with who you are. Remember how you can feel that. Go back into that space and feel it, right? Mm-hmm. I have a process of sitting and feeling, you know, being the, you know, the magic of a million dragonflies and being the oak tree at right, and just feeling that sense. Mm-hmm. And when I'm there, the story bounces off, right? It's like,
who knows
what's going on, right? The time to, maybe that's, you know, back to the question at the very beginning, right? Is it a visibility issue? Right? Is it being afraid to be seen or heard, or is it a messaging? Right? Is it, have I not crafted the message in a way that can be heard? Right? That's where I come to your workshop. But right, so
exactly, and that's where curiosity really comes. And so once, just that, letting out all the blah, and then allowing the voice of love, then it's like, let's get curious here. Let's get curious here. And so asking, as you know, one of our friends and mentors says, asking expansive questions, yes. Angela, asking expansive questions, I think is such a great tool to, you know, just, okay, what was the gift? So if I put something out there and I didn't get the response, What was the gift in this? Mm-hmm. What was the good in this? Mm-hmm. It's knowing and trusting that whatever I do, there is a reason, there is a purpose, there is no mistake, there are no mistakes, there's no wrong. And so there must be a gift in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that there, I think it's twofold, one of which is it's really an invitation to go deeper into that place of self-trust. As odd as that might seem, right? If there's something that's, if there's not a response, but it really is that opportunity to go, no, I don't care what's happening out here. I'm choosing to come back to center. And for whatever reason right now, that is the most important thing for me to experience. Yes. And then also getting curious about, okay, so Jennifer, you do a lot of inner work. Maybe, right? Let's take a look and see what on the outside could use a little bit of massaging.
Exactly. What,
right.
And asking, and might be, yeah, what is it on the outside? Is it my message? Is it my process? Or maybe it's I'm in front of the wrong audience. And then what support do I need around this? Mm. What support do I need around this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're not meant to be siloed entrepreneurs, you know, having that ample abundance of support.
Yeah. You know, that is such an important message too. You know, I think that, I think a lot of us, and I'll put myself, you know, raise my hand very, very directly. You know, there's a part that thinks you're supposed to know how to do all of it. And it's ridiculous. We're interconnected species, right? We don't have to know everything. We're not supposed to know everything. And honestly, that's why money is, so to wrap it back to money, it's why money was invented, so that my soul gets to connect with your soul. And right, if I'm a hat maker and a chicken person and you're vegetarian, you don't want my chickens, but money gets you, right? I can exchange this value with you, and right.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
And then you can take that value and, you know, and go get your veggies from someplace else, right? So
yes. And I'll say that's why speaking and our voices were invented in the same way, so that we can connect and be with each other.
Yeah.
And use our unique expression.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, Rebecca, we have rapidly come to a close here, to the end of our time. So I want to say thank you. I'm deeply appreciative of your presence and your message and everything that you shared today. I think that there's a lot that we can take from what was shared. And, you know, I am going to encourage people to take a look at your website, take a look at your workshop, along with, I'm sure there's other offers to help bring our divinely inspired message to the world, because again, we're our world is in need of some new messaging. All right, so thank you all for tuning into Soul Wisdom Abundance. It's been a pleasure to spend this time with you. If you are curious about your soul money relationship and want to get a little bit more information about that, you can head to my website, which is jenniferbloom.com. I have a free quiz that's going to help you understand a little bit more about the different aspects of your relationship, and there's some exercises for beginning to tweak that. And Soul Wisdom Abundance is here the first and third Fridays of every month, and looking forward to sharing space with you again in a couple of weeks. So until then, everyone, take good care, prosperous blessings, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit jenniferbloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.